gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention!
It's an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
the gas
stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down
Luke,
and check your crap.
Don't look at me, Luke.
It's time for
Dutch, Jones, Dutch, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Wow. I hope everybody's not waiting over on Ustream for us. This has been the smallest opening night performance we've ever had here at the Dutch Jones radio program. It's us and Olima in the room right now. I know people are listening on other streams, though. You may want to go look at Ustream and see if anybody's over there. They'll start popping in here. So we can only do one stream at a time. It just knocks us offline. What we'll probably end up doing, folks, is picking one and going with it. But you broadcasters got 17 of my dollars right now. I think about $17 worth of sign up. So when we use that up, we'll probably switch to Ustream. Seemed like people had a better listening experience, but there were still some people who couldn't, which surprised me. Oh, and the sad thing, Olima's not even listening. She just said that she's got some house guests over, and she's entertaining, so she can't have it up, but she is archiving. Well, what is this? This is the Dutch Jones radio program, and we come to you Monday through Friday here on you broadcast from via the DutchJones.tk website and a bunch of other places. And we are also from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time. We are on Liberty Tree Radio Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I don't know if they replay us or not, but hopefully they have our permission to do so.
Ooh, there's a guest.
Oh, we have a guest just popped into the room. That's good. I don't know where this came from. Okay, yeah. Anyway, I'm getting comments from Facebook, so people are listening on Facebook. That's what's going on. Let me do this again. I got lots of people checking in on Facebook now. It's like boom, 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 boom. Okay, now where did this one go? Where's the... people in Pennsylvania, that's what I was going to talk about. Well, let's do the intro first. Finish the intro. We're coming to you from the church at Kuia. We do not necessarily reflect the opinions, views, beliefs, promotions of the pastor, the people that sit in the pews, anybody who lives on the ranch here with us. So sometimes I may say something that may be doctrinally wrong. You know, that's me building a verbal bridge to nowhere. Don't hold it against the church. It's me. I'm not a pastor. This is Dutch Jones. As far as you know, I'm a single individual. It is a nom de guerre, a name of war, but I speak for myself. I do not speak for the Church of Kuia. If I quote the Church of Kuia, then okay, then you can do it. But what I'm saying here is I'm sharing with you the Christian militant worldview, which offends everyone. Boy, we did a video today up on YouTube. If you go to the YouTube site, Dutch Jones on YouTube, you'll see Calling All Militias 2. It's trying to get militias to get off their fannies and get off their fanny packs and get down to the border, like we're going to be doing, which we'll talk about towards the end of the show. We're going to be going down to Arizona, and I'm like, all these militia guys are sending me all this stuff about how great they are, how much equipment they have, all the training they do, how they stay out. Even when it's cold or raining, they don't get in their SUV, and how bad they are. And that's great. I love that stuff. It builds a camaraderie, even over the internet or over the phone or over the radio show, where we can go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But what good is it if you never deploy? You have that perfect opportunity down there for now until they won't allow us to go down there anymore and they start killing us for going down there. And I'm not talking about the Mexican cartels. I'm talking about the American government. So take this opportunity to go help Arizona. We need to support Arizona for what she's doing. The whole state should be, you know, that is all those people that are behind their governor, they should be reinforced. This is a clarion call for us to go. So we did a little video on that, and the first comments were like, you're a wacko, you're a douchebag, you're what's wrong with America, oh, I see a Confederate flag behind you, you must be a racist. So, of course, that launched me on about 15 different arguments with 15 different people going on all day, so I couldn't get anything I needed to get done today, although I did get the chicken cooked, so I won't get beaten by Stacy. But it's just funny. I try to educate these people. Some of them are my friends. Right now, I'm arguing on a friend's forum about atheism. In fact, here he goes again. He's sending me something else. But we cannot let other people define us. And when I go out there and I put a little video out there and I try to encourage people and they misinterpret it, you know, we don't live our lives by their drum. We're not going to let them define us. Do not let people define you because you fly the Confederate flag. When they say, oh, that's a sign of the KKK and racism, you can't have that flag in the background. I got like 8 of those today. It's like, really, do you even know the name of that flag? It's the flag of St. Andrew. It's a Christian flag. And did you know that the Klan doesn't fly the Confederate flag really anymore? They fly the American flag. So, but, you know. And then you can't even... You try and only one person, he was actually an old friend of mine, old Vern, on Facebook. I kind of sent him some stuff to educate him about the truth about the war of federal aggression and the truth about slavery and all that stuff. We'll see. I'll see how many friends I lose. You know, old friends. A lot of my old friends, they seem to be off on these tangents. Okay, you got to remember, I grew up in a small town in Colorado. So you had two options. You had rednecks and you had punks. Actually, you had a third option. You had redneck punks. And I was a redneck punk. And we all got along. I mean, you know, yeah, there's like the kids that, we called them rich kids, but nobody was really rich in town. But, you know, they had indoor plumbing and stuff like that. And they were just normal folks. Nothing highfalutin about them. Nothing out of the ordinary. Everybody was pretty normal. I don't think we've generated a serial killer yet or a serial rapist out of the little town of Eaton, E-A-T-O-N, Colorado. But it's like I rub elbows with these guys, and they're completely different. They're off in these weird tangents. One guy's like a Buddhist. And when he was a kid in high school, he was like this hardcore Christian kid. Now he's a Buddhist. I don't know if he got raped by a priest or something, and he just went run into another religion. A lot of them become atheists, you know, and agnostics. And life has just been hard on people, and they go looking. And it's kind of sad to say this, but I think I'm the most normal one. And I was the biggest freak back then. You know, I was the one. I still are. Well, not compared to my friends, but I may be the biggest freak in this room just because Lou hasn't gotten his freak flag flying yet. But, I mean, you know, I was bringing, you know, all kinds of communist stuff into school, socialist stuff, punk rock that nobody would hear because I had contacts on both coasts that were mailing it to me. Back then, we had to mail albums, full-size albums in the mail or cassettes. When we got cassettes, we're like, hey, we can make our own little cassette tapes. You know, I was running away in the summer to go see concerts in L.A. and New York so I could go see punk rockers. And then they started coming to Denver in the 80s. And now these kids, you know, that just resisted the government back then, you know, we were just, you know, anarchists. Yay! Now they're all like middle-aged suburbanites that don't want to rock the boat, love the Republican Party, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's just sad. It's kind of weird. And then you got the other ones, like I said, that are just completely bizarre. The guys that were best men at my wedding, I can't even talk to them anymore. My first wedding, I didn't really have a best man at my second wedding. Couldn't make it. But at my, it's strange how we separate as a nation. I used to make fun of people that lived in the same town their whole life. And I think, wow, that must just be boring. But now I kind of pity that. Or for me, I envy it. I go, wow, that would be amazing to know who your cousins really are. I don't think I've seen a cousin since I was 8 years old. I haven't seen my brothers or sisters in 15 years. And that's the ones that I was seeing at the time. I mean, I've got some brothers and sisters I haven't seen in 25 years. There were a lot of us. I still don't know exactly how many there were in the different litters that went on. America has become a totally disjointed, disconnected place where everybody's doing their own thing. That's why I put this video out today. If you go to it, Luke can put the link up in there if there's anybody in there. Just go to YouTube, type in Dutch Jones. You'll find it. And I don't even know how long it is, but it's just me sitting in front of a flag. It's like 6 minutes trying to get people to get active and trying to draw attention to the show. That's really what it was, just to get people to come here and listen. I mean, are you finding the same thing? Are you, you know, are you disconnected from the place of your youth? And then when you do this internet cyber hoobie-jeebie thing, you find out that, you know, you just don't get along with anybody. There's like someone, I'm on Facebook, and we use it a lot for the show, but I also have connected, and it's like, there are people on there that I would have died for when we were teenagers. I mean, it was like right out of Clockwork Orange, you know, we were extremists, and but there were people there that I would have laid my life down just to make sure they didn't get in trouble, and now I can't even talk to them. Is that what's happening to the world? We're just disconnecting. We're all growing in our own little weed patch. And we're all so busy with our own problems of the day that we don't remember our roots. And I think that's how they're destroying America. We're just... Nobody lives on a farm anymore that their great-grandfather did. I know you're out there. And if you are, give me a call. 559-561-8225. It's Tuesday, the 30th of June, right?
Yeah.
2010, and I'm doing a little introspection here because I've been battling cyber attacks. You know, I don't mean, you know, I mean personal cyber attacks. People who don't like what I'm posting, people who don't like the God that I'm defending. I mean, I've got Christians attacking me because they don't know the Bible. They're attacking me because they don't even read the Bible. They sit in a corporate church and just believe whatever some hairdo wearing, $1,000 suit wearing pastor tells them to believe. It's really sad. So that's what we're doing. And then I made the mistake of listening to music, and I was listening to the Carl Klang song about Gordon Call, so I decided to refresh my memory about what happened in 1982. And I found one called The Official Report of What Happened to Him, and how they cut off his hands and feet and then shot him in the head and charred his body, and you know, just these thugs. What we're up against is so vile and so evil. We need to stick together as a country, as a community, or we're all going to go under. You know, all these people who are attacking me today, I'm like, well, I hope you're happy in your either in your FEMA camp or the dark solitude of your mass grave that you're going to be thrown into, because with that attitude, you're not going to be able to defend yourself against your neighbors. I got people telling me, oh, don't take up arms. Christians are supposed to just sit. And these are people that I've known for a long time. What do we got here? Oh, I got a website for you that I want you guys to check out. Outpostoffreedom.com. Outpost-of-freedom.com. Why is everybody doing dashes? Makes it hard for me.
It's the new thing.
It's like the new thing. Well, this guy's been doing it since like 92.
It's like new ice cream.
It's like... What does that have to do with ice cream, Lou?
I don't know.
Okay, let me see. Go here. We've got a couple guests in the room. Thanks to you. You know, if you sign up, you can actually chat in the room there. But I'm going to go back to Yahoo. There was something weird in the news. All my life, I've been screaming since I've been watching George Jetson as a child. Where's my flying car? I want my flying car. I want a flying car so that I can just get off the freeway and not have to mess with you guys, mount some weapons on it, and just fly to wherever I need to go. Well, this company came up with one, and now, of course, the article's gone. Now that I'm going through it, it's not going to be here. Watch. They came up with this flying car that has a range of about 400 miles. The wings fold up. It looks like they took the front end of a Volkswagen and added the silhouette of a stealth fighter on the back. I mean, it's got sweeping wings. It's a rear prop. It's a push plane. And I'm trying to find the article here. And, of course, it was... There you go. It was... No, of course, it's not going to be here. Let me see. But it's way overdue. We've been promised our cities in the sky, our moving sidewalks. You know, they have at some airports. I think, like, McCarran or whatever it is in Vegas has them. But... Nothing that science has promised us has come to fruition. I don't have a ray gun. Do you have a ray gun, Lou? All these people who worship science, I mean, all they've given us is what? A promise of gloom and doom because I flush the toilet too much or I put out too much methane.
We're supposed to have self-tying shoes.
We should have self-tying shoes. We should all have robot maids.
That was in the movie Back to the Future.
Back to the Future? Even Back to the Future lied to us?
It was like 2010.
Yeah.
And they had like...
All the stuff we were promised, we don't get it. It's funny, the things that came true were the tyranny, although I have to admit it's not as bad as 1984 yet. You know, nowhere as bad. You know, that communist George Orwell that, you know, kind of wanted to tell us what was going to happen. It's not there yet. And the only reason it's not there yet is that there's a handful of people that just keep buying guns. Saw a video today that said that the amount of guns in the hands of America from just 1 month, let's say February, after Obongo was elected, 1 month that people purchased that month are enough to supply the Indian Army and the Chinese Army with weapons. So the other thing I'm getting today is, like, there's no way we can stand up against the New World Order, the Borg theory. There's just too many. We must assimilate. They just don't have the power to stop us. If every gun owner, even the ones that are cowards, would actually fire their weapon in anger and in defense, or hand their guns to those that will, we've got them outgunned, we've got them outnumbered, we've got them outthought. We have the moral high ground, so there's nothing to fear there. Boy, it's just, I keep getting back to, you know, the stupidity of what people have been sending me today, and how little they understand the power that's in their own hands as American citizens. They're all wrapped up in going to the Tea Party and screaming and yelling. Meanwhile, what gets done? What has gotten done? A couple people got nominated, but I guarantee you, the day that it comes to pull that lever, poke that paper, whatever, touch the digital screen, people are still going to vote party lines, and they're not going to vote everybody out. Now, even if they did vote everybody out, how long is it going to take? 6 months before the people get into office and they're going to realize either it's gridlock or play ball? It's like throwing bad money into an old, crummy car. You keep fixing all the peripheral things. You keep putting a new paint job on it. You put a new cover on the steering wheel because you're like, wow, this car needs to be rebuilt. But I'm not going to do what really needs to be done. Well, what really needs to be done is you either need to get rid of the car, rip the motor out, scrap it, and go get another car. Now, I'm not ready to go get a whole new car. But we need to start from the frame up. And what's the frame in America? The frame is the Constitution, as it was originally written, not all of the bizarre add-ons and strange stretches of law. I just like today, McChrystal, you know, was thrown out and Petraeus was put in. Why are they having Congress vote on who's going to be the warlord in an arena of combat? We haven't even declared war. Shouldn't that be the Defense Department decides who's going to run a theater of operations? They overstep everything. They twist the procedures. Nobody even questions it anymore. So Congress votes in a new war general to be in charge of a theater of operations. Why is Congress doing that? We shouldn't even be over there. War hasn't been declared. It's like they're building procedures on top of a foundation of jello that shouldn't even be there. And yet everybody just goes along, all the sheep, all the cattle, as long as they get their, you know, few food pellets every day, and they're allowed to blow off a little steam at the lake on weekends with their in-debt, up-to-hawk, cool equipment, their wave runners and their boats. America has become a distracted zoo animal. They don't even realize there's bars there as long as somebody's throwing peanuts at them or popcorn. As long as the master comes in every few off and hoses out the crap out of the bottom of the cage, throws them some chunks of meat, they don't care if they were once the king of beasts. As long as the temperature's controlled and they don't have to think. They don't have to do anything. They just walk back and forth, pace back and forth inside the little cell. That's what America's become. Now, I can't speak for the rest of the world. Those listeners that are listening internationally, got some emails today. I just got a comment from somebody in New Zealand that's listening. Things are so different everywhere else. I can't imagine how bad they must be. I mean, if we, the last free nation on earth, are getting this bad, how bad is it in Europe? Look at Canada. What did they do? Make 900 arrests in Canada? No, it was 600 arrests. They spent $900 million on security for these meetings. $900 million spent on security. Which, of course, you know, they said they had to. It was the most violent time in Canadian history, the most mass arrests. the first time they've ever had to use in Toronto, was it on Toronto or Ontario? I got to find it. Time in that city's history they've had to use tear gas. They were arresting EMTs and holding them for 23 hours without phone calls, water contact, anything. EMTs that were stopping to treat people with open head wounds. Even Canada has New World Order police, and they're and I hate to say it, but they're a bunch of sissies up in Canada.
Hey.
If it wasn't for us, they wouldn't be there. In fact, we should have taken them over. I know a lot of my Canadian listeners are going, what? I think I have three. You guys laid over and let your gun laws go right over the top of you. Your gun control laws. You now have hate legislation up there where your pastors can't do anything in the churches. They go to jail. So they had to call out all these cops, all this overtime, and beat the crud out of people. And you know, it was anarchists, Marxists, and stuff in the crowd that started it. It wasn't the people that were really protesting the Fed or the World Bank or these corporations. No, it's always the instigators that come in. From my time in law enforcement, I've been involved in several riots where I've just been up on a roof videotaping what went on. And honestly, I actually felt like I was there just as much to protect the citizens as the cops, because if I saw a cop wailing on somebody, I videotaped it. My tapes were used just as much against cops as they were for cops, and I was always the impartial fire guy. Eventually, some people learned not to beat on people when I had a camera around, because I wasn't going to stop recording. But you'd always see the same little anarchist coming in from L.A. to to what we call the Inland Empire in Riverside and San Bernardino. It's the same people, and they'd come and instigate. Now, they may think what they're doing fits their cause, because they want total chaos. They want total decay of society. So they think that their skinny, vegetarian, pot-smoking, you know, society will take over. I don't know what dream world that would happen, because the first time that we have anarchy in America, everybody that's lawless doesn't follow a code of faith and an inner moral compass is just going to eat those people alive. But anyway, they come out and they try and break things up and destroy things and get the cops mad, and they don't even realize that they're serving the very people that they're trying to fight. These anarchists and communists, they're working for the New World Order because they're creating an atmosphere of violence, which gives the police the reason to step across the line and break skulls. And so the next time they can even have more draconian laws. They can say, well, remember last year when we had the G8 summit and the G20 summit and those maniacs came out and burned six police cars? Well, now we got to push them out of the city. We have to have no free speech zones anywhere. You have to leave the county. We'll let you protest on camera from your house. Going to these events and protesting violently isn't going to do any good. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the idea of some, you know, if you see some cop using his billy club on some young girl, just go over and put the boots to the cop. Trust me. I get behind that. I've been there. I did that. Let me tell you about an event that happened in Boulder, a peace rally that happened in Boulder. It turned into a fight fest with the Boulder City police officers. I got maced. I think it was the first time in my life I got maced. I was 15, I think. Went to go see a Angelic Upstarts concert and a thing for peace to protest the CIA recruiting on CU campus. Showed up, ended up getting beat up by the cops. That was my first experience. I've hated cops ever since. Not all cops, 99% of them. So I know what it's like. I've been there. I'm kind of like a Forrest Gump. A real-life Forrest Gump, you know, except he's probably smarter than me because he made a lot more money than I ever will make. But I've gone the whole spectrum here. Wild-eyed socialist, anarchist, whatever, to staunch right-wing Christian militant, whatever it is I am, mercenary for God. You can't go to these protests and you can't damage some poor shop owner who's already losing business because the New World Order bankers have come in and shut down the street for 4 days. How's that going to win the working man over to your cause? The only protest I liked in the last few years was April 19th, when the Tea Parties went to Washington and they were armed. Now that's what I'm talking about. You know, you just speak softly and carry a Glock. Nobody was shot, nobody was hurt. The police, they knew better. If they had been unarmed, I don't know what would have happened during that rally. I can't say. Some alternate universe will probably figure it out after we die. We cannot and must not go into their traps. These protests, violent protests, are a trap. It's an excuse for them to just turn the screws a little more. So I don't get all behind that. I like the idea of using this time period to train and start making lists I was talking to somebody yesterday, I think it was overseas somewhere. I don't remember what country it was, some former Soviet country. And I said, this is a time to be making lists. Who are the judges that are violating their oaths? Who are the magistrates that are putting your brothers and sisters in jail for simply refusing to pay some unlawful tax? Now, I'm not talking about the Greeks who are whining because their retirement date went, you know, got hired, you know, but instead of 55, they have to go to 57 now. I'm not talking about the sheeple that are out there looking for handouts. I'm talking about the real underground. I was talking to a guy in France, and he's kind of a, I don't want to say he's a fascist, but he's kind of a nationalist. He's younger, and so I talk to him anyway, and I share my beliefs with him. And I said, you got to function like the French underground did. Probably the only thing the French did in that war that was admirable. From the surrender to the armistice. The French underground were amazing. I mean, do you realize what the French underground did? They sat around training, preparing underground, literally underground in the sewers of Paris and wherever else they were, in the barns in the countryside. But they weren't just sitting there not getting involved. When an Allied fighter or a bomber crew went down, they went looking for them and saved them from the Germans. Fought the Nazis. They were firebombing Nazis. They were doing everything they could to monkey wrench. They were not passive. But were they marching in the streets saying, you know, down with Nazis, up with, you know, De Gaulle? No. No. And we're at the same point here. Why do you want to go out and parade your face around? Why do you want to start a police record now? Especially if you're young and you're listening to this show, the protests are not the way to go. The way to go is just meld in with the public. Keeping track of what's going on and who's doing where. Just get a job working for your local civil government and start learning the names. Paying attention, just be listening. We need to be more like the French underground. We need to be more like the Maquis, those of you that are Star Trek fans. We can't fight them toe-to-toe. Not at this time. Not with the divisions and not with the preconceptions that the American militia movement has right now. Look at what's just going on in Arizona. You got like 8 different programs going on because nobody wants to all get behind one. And I actually prefer that. I'd rather have a bunch of small ones. I love the cell approach. I love it being 3 or 4 guys who contact up the chain of command and they don't even know who's over them. I love that concept. Our militia's small here. On a good day, we might have 15 people. And of that, there's a couple like me that are not frontline troop quality. Stick us on a hill somewhere, give us, you know, a laser rangefinder and a rifle, but we're not going to maneuver. But we can get a lot of data collection done, a lot of preparational work done. Lou set up a forum. Wow. When we come back, it's a little loud, we're going to talk about the forum. And you guys can go there and check it out. It's going to be there for you to use. But it's not just for gabbing. It's for tactical and strategic planning. So I'll be back after the song.
And your cities are seething with domestic violence. And you're broke and disgusted with your worthless government. Will you need the peacekeeping forces today? As the United Nations sends our soldiers overseas for the purpose of propping up their fake democracies, don't be fooled by denial. These are gross conspiracies. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops are on their way. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Through force, they will take our guns away. As our traitorous leaders sell this country down the drain to assist and support the international bankers' aims, don't be fooled by your TV. It's just there to fan the flames of another United Nations charade. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops are here today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. They're unloading shipments every day. We'll be right back.
Now that your mind has been salvaged and you still have truth in sight, and you have not been duped by all their propaganda hype, will you fight for this country when you know the time is right? Will you fight the peacekeeping forces today? We're gonna fight the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops will have to pay. Don't you think those light bright blue helmets sure make darn good targets? Up, two, three, four, they stand out the troop boats on the bay. There's no more sinister way to attack the USA than to do it the New World Order way.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Without a gun. Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Yes. Okay, he's not going to play something there. Lou's going to run off right now and set up the camera because it's Wednesday. I thought it was Tuesday, but it's Wednesday. And he's going to set up a camera for America's Providential History so we can get that audio and get it up on the website tomorrow. So he'll be running out. So if we go down, I'm going to have to do it from over here, so it'll take a minute. Don't leave. If UBroadcast takes a dive, I can set it up on my computer. We're already set up and plugged in. Well, this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We just came back after our first half hour. Most of what I've been sharing with you has been going towards a goal here to talk about how we should be preparing to fight in this time that we have. Now, unless you've got a great big huge militia or you live around a bunch of them, you know, learning how to move about on a battlefield and, you know, platoon size elements and all that, it's not really going to do you any good if you've only got five guys. And, oh, I want to welcome you back. I'll also give you the phone number. It's 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. You can call in and comment on this or anything else you wanted. And you can go to the, make sure you go to the website, dutchjones.tk, because we set up a new forum. Actually, Lou did it all. There's a forum there. There's a place. Just click on the new forum. That's where I want you to put pictures of things you see, story ideas, people you think I should interview. You want to talk about your weapons, stuff like that. You can do it there at the forum, but you got to go through the website to get there, and you just sign up, and it's yours. You guys use it for whatever you want. I'll poke around there a couple times a day and see if there's anything interesting, leave comments, but other than that, it's for you guys. It's been requested for a while for people being able to exchange information. Like today, I got information from a request, an email, a contact from some people in Pennsylvania that want to go to Arizona, but they need to carpool. Great place to do that. Get in there and just say, hey, I'm in Pennsylvania. I want to go to Arizona. It doesn't even have to be this time coming up. They're going to need people throughout the year. So if you can't make it this trip, you know, maybe find some people in your area that listen to this show or other ways that you can find people. I don't know. I'm not the only voice out there. But get together and save some money and go down together and dress up like a bunch of German tourists like we were talking about. So the point of today's show is going to be acting and operating like a underground insurgent, a partisan, not necessarily a supportive militia group. Because I have a feeling that there's more militia groups out there that are really just a guy and his sons or in his neighbor. And that's it. And it gets a little disheartening when you, especially like when I listen to the intelligence report and I hear about all the great training they're doing there and all the people that are showing up. They're running multiple ranges at one time. We got one little range and we're lucky if we get enough people for a class. No sound. Let's see. Okay, it's working on Lou's computer. Working on Lou's. So we're good to go there. I can see it bouncing right now. Hello! Yeah, it's working over there. Lou's. Wait for a buffer. Okay. So my point is that you've got to do it. I don't know where you went. You fell off. Rocky Hill disappeared. He probably got disconnected somehow. We're not going to wait for him to come back. He can catch it on the replay. I'm still live. Live and local. Actually, we go out through the whole world. And I've, over my course of martial training, I've really appreciated and found it great to study the folks that had very little that did a lot with it. The folks that were able to overcome overwhelming odds through ingenuity, sneakiness, and asymmetrical fighting. That's the word you'll hear on the modern battlefield. The Taliban are fighting asymmetrically. They won't fight us toe-to-toe. They're cowards. No, they're smart. I don't mean to diminish the courage of our men and women in uniform. I'm not behind the war, but I pray for them every day. Why should I stand on a battlefield behind a rock so you can call in an artillery barrage on me or bring in a smart bomb on top of my head with your laser-guided missiles? Why would I want to do that? And why would you want to do that? No, I'm gonna try and find a way that I can defeat you without you ever even seeing me. And I'm not just talking about sniping. Some things you need to learn today and catalog today and keep in the back of your mind, however you want to do it. Look at your area where you're going to be operating. If you're not going to bug out, where are they going to house these people that are going to be aggressing upon you? Where are the infrastructure inlets and outlets that you could use to either get in or to hamper their comfort? Anything that you can do to the enemy to make him miserable in downtime will depreciate his fighting abilities drastically. You may not even be a frontline soldier. You might even just be a 12 or 13-year-old kid, but you know how to go in and mess up the electricity so their air conditioners turn off. Can you imagine how our soldiers would be fighting in Iraq in the summertime when it's 120 degrees? They're all in their little hooches with their air conditioning if suddenly they lost power or they couldn't keep the power up for more than 20 minutes at a time just because somebody's putting a handful of sand in a diesel generator tank? Not very technical, is it? Yeah, and if you blend in and you sneak in, you can do it in broad daylight, can't you? So you need to learn who your potential enemies are. We're doing that here. We're looking for rail lines. We're looking for power lines. We're looking for sewers coming out. You back up an enemy sewer, and after resort to the old outhouse, they're not going to be too happy about that. Rocky Hill's back. Can you hear now, Rocky? You hear now? So looking at their infrastructure, where are they going to put them? Look for rail lines. They're going to be positioned near rail lines with great big auditoriums or open fields, high schools, those types of things. We have a little town here, Lindsay, and we keep getting intel reports that they're training explorer scouts in there to disarm Americans. They're training all different kinds of law enforcement in there. I looked in there, and they have cages in there, but it's right next to a rail line. Now, I've heard one of our county board of supervisors say the county wants to buy up the rail line. The rail line, they're not making any money off of it because the agriculture's dying here. They want to tear it up and sell it for scrap, but the county wants to take it over and use it for what? They want to build big factory warehouses, they say. They want us to be the new storage place for Walmart and Kmart and all that, because San Francisco's being overrun. So if you find out where they are, where these locations are that the counties want to use, start making maps of them. Because it'll be impossible once the boot's put on the neck of America's people. Look at overpasses. You want to know a real way to tie up anything? Drop an overpass onto a major interchange, just one. You're shutting them down. I used to live in Colton, California, where there's a big rail interchange area there where they have all the turn houses and all that. Doesn't take much to slow those down. You want to slow your enemy down. You don't always have to kill him. You don't always have to be a marksman to defeat the enemy. Figure out where they're going to be fed at, where they're going to get their food from. Find out who you can either bring over to your side or get a job there. The Mossad did this one thing, you know, with Operation Paperclip. After World War II, all of the different allies were trying to smuggle out the brain Nazis, the Nazis that were able to make missiles and nukes or whatever, and they were sneaking them out. Well, several of them were held in this prison, waiting, of course, for their war crimes trials. Well, the Mossad's like, how are we going to get these stinking Nazis? I may not like the Mossad, but I can admire the way they do stuff. They got jobs at the bakery and poisoned the bread that went into the prison and killed them all. They knew they couldn't get into the prison, but they did it. These rebel Jews wanted revenge, and they killed these Nazi prisoners. Made the American government real mad, because they were going to use them, you know, to oppress the rest of the world, because that's what Operation Paperclip was, to try and glean the best minds of the Nazi party that they could. So look at how things are going to work. I mean, if there is a major grocery store in your town now, it's going to be the supply depot for whatever occupying force is here. They'll just take it over, or they'll let them operate it at a huge profit. If there's warehouses stored with food in your area, that's where they're going to store their food. As the food depreciates, they'll become prisons. But as an insurgent, as a partisan, as a guerrilla fighter, an underground member, you have to look at these things now and figure out what you're going to do. You need to learn how to derail trains, especially troop trains. I'm thinking if they're bringing in a great big, huge train full of UN troops coming down from the high desert down Cajon Pass, those of you that live in the San Bernardino area, derailing one of those trains when they're coming down, even at slow speed, is going to be devastating. With one pry bar and a sledgehammer, you could take out more in 1 second than you'd be able to ever take out as training to be the greatest sniper ever. You see where I'm going with this? Learn where the utilities enter and leave your community. Learn where natural gas lines are, where the shutoff valves are. Now, if you live in an area that treats its water, one of the things that governments are doing that's just ridiculously stupid, they're using high concentration peroxide to treat their water, and they're leaving it accessible to the street. Now, the peroxide that you get that's diluted, that you rinse your mouth out with, or you put on wounds, is not dangerous. But high concentration peroxide can be used to make all kinds of things I'm not going to talk about on this radio show. And there's just thousands of gallons of it laying around in plastic tanks with just little chain link fences around them. I know Vegas is like that. I know LA is like that. They treat their water with it. It trickle drips it in, but they have to have large volumes of it. And there's no security around them half the time. And usually they've got, like here in California, they're surrounded in oleander. So there you can take a material from them that you can use to do some pretty disastrously, just devastating things with. Plus, that's where they're treating their water. So if you've got a couple vials of amoebic dysentery or human feces or a bucket of diarrhea, put it in their water supply after their filtration and purification process. They don't usually protect those kind of things. Natural gas lines, they may watch those, oil lines. Southern California, from the old days of oil that they had on the hills, there are oil pipelines going all underneath the different cities. Every once in a while, because they're old, they'll rupture, and crude oil will be coming up through people's backyards, and everybody gets all upset. Those are useful to know. I remember one time in Denver, Colorado, they moved the airport. Denver International Airport is 30 or 40 miles outside of town. It used to be downtown. Well, they couldn't move the fuel tanks. They're like, wow, we used to be right across the freeway from the fuel tanks. What are we going to do now? So they ran fuel from Denver all the way out to Denver International Airport. The big thing looks like a big circus tent. Well, I remember one year the tanks caught on fire, and the big fear was that it was going to go through those underground pipes and just blow the crud out of little suburbs of Denver. And for days it burned and it burned and it burned, and the Denver Fire Department didn't know what to do. The state fire department didn't know what to do. And finally, somebody out of I think it was Texas, you know, one of those Red Adair types, came in and turned it off. And they knew what to do. Knowing where those lines are, you don't have to get into a highly guarded compound to learn how to cause them problems. And I'm not saying you have to go blow it up in a war situation. Poke a hole in it and drain it off and use the resources for yourself. Learn how the systems work. All these substations running around, learn what those big transformers do. Get online and find out what would happen if somebody put a 50 caliber bullet through three or four of those transformers. You know, what would it do? What is the enemy's greatest advantage over us? Technology. What happens if they don't have electricity to run all that stuff? The power coming from the dam hundreds of miles away suddenly gets cut off because two or three transformers are gone, or somebody used a rather large wrecking vehicle to take down two or three of the towers with a long, long cable. And so they go kick on their emergency generators and there's sand in all the fuel tanks. It's not the big, brave, sweeping, heroic moves that always win wars. It's the little building, block by block, step by step. Hey, Annie Oakley, welcome aboard, whoever you are. Be thinking in that mode now, especially you smaller militias. Watch where all the communications towers are. Do you know, especially like the highway patrol, they have repeater after repeater after repeater. Learn where they are. You'd be surprised what a 30 caliber bullet can do to one of those structures where all that high expensive communication microwave equipment is. An aluminum foil ball thrown in there, thrown in the dish. Big giant aluminum foil ball. Monkey wrenching is sometimes is better than a sword or a bayonet. Find out where their communication centers are. Are they well protected or are they being lackadaisical about it? You know, now modern police and fire dispatch centers are pretty well secure because they're also tactical operations centers for something that's, for disasters. They're called EOCs, Emergency Operations Centers. Volunteer. Volunteer. Become an emergency services worker at your county level. Become go be community watch personnel or something. You'll start to learn these things. And you may find people who are working for the other side that you can sway. But there may be good people still working for them. It's amazing how many civil servants do it begrudgingly. They got into it not knowing what they were doing, and now they're just doing it to hang on to their retirement. But they've learned that, hey, the system is broken. It doesn't work. I've seen a lot of people like that. And you should be collecting all the books that will soon be illegal to own and buy them with cash. Go to used bookstores and look for them. Start making lists. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about. And buy the books. Don't rely upon, I can get that on the internet anytime I want. Well, two reasons. One, what if the internet gets flushed? And two, when you download the Anarchist Cookbook off the internet, they know exactly who you are and where you're downloading it from. Military manuals, collect them. Everything you need to know, especially engineering manuals. They're really good at teaching you how to put stuff up, but there are good ones out there to teach you how to take them apart instantly. Start studying the way modern insurgents are fighting. Pay a lot of attention to Iraq and Afghanistan. They make it sound like it's all IEDs. It's not. It's more than that. It's not just some Haji on the end of a wire touching a car battery to a big pipe bomb. There's a technology behind what they do. They do everything from using garage door opener safety sensors so they only get high-profile vehicles. All the little Datsuns and everything just go zipping by and don't set it off. Just those little sensors that when you walk through the front door of a convenience store, they go ding, ding. That's all they're using. The technology that they're using is off-the-shelf stuff from Radio Shack or, you know, Home Depot. Learn how to defeat their cameras. Now, there's some stuff on the internet about using UV LEDs. Put a big, bright cluster of them on a hat or on a necklace, and it works. Hook them up to several 9-volt batteries, and when the night vision cameras look at you, all they see is a bright light, and they can't see you. Don't think it works? Do you have one of those video cameras that has night vision on it? I want you to get it. Switch it to night vision. Take one of your remote controls from your VCR, your big screen TV, your hot tub, whatever that uses IR. Be watching the camera, point it, and start pushing buttons and see how just one little LED blinds that camera. These are all things that I can't show you to do on the radio. You have to research them yourselves. Paladin Press. Go to Paladin Press and find a way to just pay cash or at least get the titles there and then go looking for them. Because you've got to have this knowledge now. The time to be breaking open these manuals is not when they're doing stuff to you and your family. Think non-obvious weaponry. Because there's going to be a time when we're not even going to be able to walk around with fists. They'll be like, oh, you have an aggressive stance, I have to tase you. Start looking at common everyday items. Hard plastic combs, brushes for you ladies. Key rings that you can get that you can sneak around that are plastic, hard plastic. Lexan. Strong Lexan can be made into blades that are as sharp as anything that'll lay flat against your body that nobody will ever notice. As an insurgent, you got to think more James Bond, less Rambo. Does that make sense? Your goal is to flee, get away, to sneak attack another day. As part of the American Underground, we have to focus on these things. We have to know what has worked before and create new ways that they've never even imagined. Never even imagined. I mean, something as simple as sneaking LSD into their water supply. Can you imagine what effect that would have on a military encampment? You know, a major operating base? Oh, hello.
Hello.
I thought you were Lou coming back. No. He went down to set up the camera.
Did you get the mail?
No, we didn't get the mail. I thought maybe you'd get it. I know you like to get it.
It's weird.
Yeah, I don't think they put it out every day anymore.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. Did you look in the pan? I made a surprise for you. Go look in the pan. See what's cooking.
Yeah, I think she feels like giving us her mail.
Right. Yeah, I don't think, because we don't have a post person anymore. We just have a building with mailboxes in it. I think whenever the hippie wants to put it out, she puts it out. Because we were getting a ton of mail from you guys, and all of a sudden it just kind of, it comes in bursts and clusters. But think more James Bond, less Rambo. Be thinking of communication systems that are not typical. Symbolism. Crypto symbolism. Tape, flags, lights and windows. Does it look good?
Oh, yeah. I get more about the post office. I've never seen the P.O. boxes barely.
That empty, yeah. Yeah, I don't think they put it out today. Yeah, I think they just put it out whenever they want to. Well, we need to just get another mailbox farther down the hill and just not let some hippie decide where our mail comes from.
Yeah.
So that's all we'll do. Next week we'll go get another one. But I hope you're catching my drift here. I hope you're picking up what I'm saying. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Are you harvesting what I'm planting? Are you reaping what I'm sowing? I mean, there's so many cool things you could be doing right now to train that doesn't require anything more than reading or some time in your garage making a blowgun or something out of PVC pipe. I mean, making a bunch of caltrops. You know what those are? They're devices that ninjas would throw on the ground that would pierce the feet of their pursuers. That's what they are. Oh, I don't know if Lou went offline. Can you come over here and hit the space bar on this computer, please?
Where is he?
He's setting up the camera down below. Nobody in the chat room said anything, so I hope. Just hit the space bar. Is it still going? Is it still going right here? Yeah, because you guys haven't said anything, so is you guys in the chat room? Let me hear you guys hearing me. It hasn't been as hot today. It's been nicer. It's been breezier. A little easier to go out and do some stuff. Pull some weeds, whack some weeds. But nobody's responding. Does it still say it's recording and everything? Is it red?
It looks like it.
Yeah, just don't touch any keys. I don't know how he's got it set up over there. Everybody must have walked away from the computer. I'm going to lean over there and see what it says. Yep, it's working. Annie Oakley ducked out. So I don't. It's another slow day. Uh-oh, let's see. I got some comments coming in on you. Let's see. Here's a comment. Let me see what it says. I like it when people listen and they're on Facebook. That makes it much easier, guys. Oh, thank you. That must have been Annie Oakley that was in there. Thank you. Okay, so Annie Oakley is listening through Facebook. That's good. And then who was the other person here? I don't know who this is. Let's take a look at it. Catching up here, making sure I'm not leaving anybody behind that wants to talk or say something. We do have the phone hooked up, 559-561-8225. I'm going to have Stacy call and make comments.
Hello. Hello, this is...
I like a large Hawaiian pizza.
This is the large Hawaiian pizza. I made you Hawaiian chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I just walked out of the kitchen. Oh, okay. Good, good, good. Just making sure. As long as only Ma hears me, that's all that matters because she's recording it. Because we get most of... You know, we have more people listen after this hour. I'm thinking about moving it back. Just doing it from like 6 to 7 for a while, just for 1 hour. Because there are more people that listen in the 6 to 7 hour than listen in this one. I think people are just getting home from work here on the West Coast. And, you know, they're just trying to get things going and want to wind down a little bit, I guess. Get things going for dinner. One of the other areas I want to focus on is stashing. You need to stash equipment now. If that means just a 5-gallon bucket full of gear that you go bury at your uncle's house, and if they ask what it's for, say it's in case there's ever a disaster. You don't have to tell them what it's for. You don't have to tell them it's for the war of federal aggression. Start cashing around. I'm learning more and more about how they're gonna come through. They're going to hit us in our homes, and they're going to nail us with all of our gear, and we're not going to be able to get to it. Or they're just going to wipe us out, and it'll be of no good use to anybody. Putting all of your eggs in one basket is bad. If you got a pallet full of stuff, you know, waterproof it, brick it up, cover it in duct tape, whatever you got to do. But get it to a remote place that they won't even imagine that you're going to. And I'm not caching it in Forest Service and stuff like that. They're going to find it because they're looking for illegal drug labs and stuff now. But putting it at Grandma's house, putting it at your second cousin Lester's house, someplace where you don't even go around and just say, hey, you know, is it okay if I store some of these buckets here? They're just survival gear, you know, stuff, you know, in case there's just rice and stuff, and hide stuff around. Keep, you know, you might even want to, if you have the ability, to put some weapons around. Because odds are, Murphy's Law, they're going to get your primary weapons on that first night of the run, you know, the roundups. You know, the night of the long knives. When that comes, you don't want all your eggs in one basket. And that means your technology, that means your plans, your books, your formulas for things, your recipes. Have copies stashed around. You know, and leave nothing in these caches that draw directly back to you. You know, if a relative burns you, what are you going to do? But, I mean, if they, you know, you have it in a storage bin somewhere and people think it's just paint, let them think it's just paint. Chances of getting to a storage facility during, you know, civil unrest are highly unlikely. Especially the technology's out. Most of these places are electronic now and you can't get in or out of them. So always keep some tools around that you can use to get to wherever your stashes are. A crowbar, pry bar, a shovel, a pickaxe, those kind of things. Keep a couple of those around in different areas so you can get to your... Nothing be worse than getting to your stash. It's buried 5 feet down. You know, it's all hermetically sealed, if that's the word I'm supposed to be using. And you don't have a shovel to get to it. You're going to be digging with your raw hands. Even a handheld little pickaxe like you use for gardening. That's fine, too. That's a good thing to be using there. I do not understand why people wouldn't be using this time to focus on these things. Testing things. Doing your pre-runs right now. Scoping out stuff. And keep a camera with you everywhere you go. Even if it's just your phone camera, you know, and you can get smart. Practice taking pictures with it so that people won't know. Don't put it up to your face to take a picture of that big, bad riot officer that's training out at the local mall. Keep it at your side. Put it in a bag with a hole in it. When I was a private investigator, we used to stick cameras in everything. Coolers, whatever, lunch boxes, so you can just carry it with you and people don't even know you're rolling video. And then when you get it, put it in the new forum that Lou set up, so we can see it and share it. Everybody should be practicing doing this collection of data. Get little voice recorders. Most of your little music players, what do they call those? The MP3 players, they have a record mode on them and a built-in microphone. Learn how to operate that on a moment's notice. Say when the officer contacts you at the mall and says, oh, this is a FEMA operation, you can't be here, you need to leave. Get it all on tape. If you can't videotape it, audio tape it. Use it to educate people, and we can use it later when the war crimes start after we've won victory. And we want to find out who these officer thugs were that beat the tar out of you for just looking at something that you have every right in the world to look at. You understand? You should keep extra clothing at your disposal. You should make it so that you're, oh, wow, we just rolled around the top of the hour. I didn't even notice it because Lou's still not here. It's 6 o'clock, and we're here now on Liberty Tree Radio. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live from Central California in the little town of Cahuilla. And what we're doing here is we are preaching the Christian militant worldview. You're probably not going to hear anything new that you haven't heard before militia-wise or even survival-wise. But you're going to hear it with a different slant, a different tilt. And we are a small militia, but we've been here for many, many years. And we're reaching out to people to let you know we're here. And there are lots of Christian militias across the country. More than you would imagine, judging by the email I get. So we're here. Ed is in the room. Hopefully all is going good. Are we up on Liberty Tree Radio? And what we're talking about, and it's going to carry over into this hour, is we that are not in the larger organized militias, we that are isolated in these smaller communities have to think more like the French underground than the French Foreign Legion. Thank you, Ed. We have to think more like the folks in the Warsaw Ghetto that fought back against the Nazis than the Polish infantry. Lou, you better get back here. We just switched and you weren't here. It took you long enough to set it up. Wow. We went right through a break, so we're on Liberty Tree Radio right now. I had to make sure I could see there, so I want to welcome all the Liberty Tree Radio listeners, and we're going to continue the discussion here. If you want to call in, the phone number is 559-561-8225. And you can call in. You can call in about this, or if there's something else you want to talk about that's related to the Holy Cause of Liberty, go ahead. I've had kind of a bummer of a day fighting with people on the internet. We got our new video up on YouTube. It's basically just a more updated version of the other Calling All Militias. I'm trying to get people to go down to the border. Give me the keys, Lou. Also, Lou has put up a new forum, and that forum is located. There's a link on the DutchJones.tk website. And if he wants to, you can put one in the chat room since he's here. But you can check out the forum, post what you want. I'm leaving that up to the listeners. I'm getting a lot of requests. Listener sees and hears about another listener. They're in the same area. They want to meet and conspire together to keep their liberty. That's great. So we're going to give you the forum there, and it's DutchJones.smforfree3.com. So that's the regular spelling of DutchJones.smforfree3.com. So it's DutchJones.smforfree3.com. And you can just go to DutchJones.tk and get in there. And, just keep it civil. I'm not going to delete anything. But if we start getting a lot of, like, child porn and stuff, like the forum over at the other, I couldn't believe that. Hopefully nobody will do that to us, but if they do, we will hunt them down and beat them with wiffle bats. What's wrong?
Internet's slow.
Yeah. Well, we're doing the show. It's probably because of the show. But getting back on topic here, in fact, I need a drink of water here. I'm sitting right in front of a fan that's drying me out, but it's better than not having the fan on. You can eat. Food's ready. Oh, phone's ringing over there. Somebody's phone's ringing. Yeah, well, we're not going on a break. It's 6:05. This is the 30th of June, 2010. What?
I'll just look at those pictures from the border.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're pretty terrible. We got sent some pictures from a firefight that happened just south of the border, Brownsville, Texas. Browns actually hit Brownsville College, I think they said.
And those people.
And it was a fight out between federales. Stacy just looked at the pictures. They're pretty gruesome. I forwarded them to specific listeners. I don't know what that is, where that's coming from. Where's your phone?
Right here.
Yeah, move it away and let's see if it goes away. Yeah, that helped. Thank you. But use the forum, get in there, give ideas. If you see stuff and you take pictures of it, it's a good place to post it. But getting back to what I was talking about, you need to pre-run your escape routes right now. That's what this time is for. You need to pre-designate areas of hostility that you want to avoid, or you want to manipulate their resources so they can't use them. You want to deny the enemy use of certain facilities. And you would be surprised at some of the monkey-wrenching things you can do. Simple things like just rendering the plumbing in your local high school unfunctional. They can't go in there and use it for barracks or for prisons or whatever. Anything that can be used to shelter the enemy or imprison your neighbors, find ways to mess it up. Find ways to deny them access to it. You don't want to go out and just destroy them because you're going to need that infrastructure when we start winning and come back. But these little monkey-wrenching things will work. Something simple as putting some weird color dye in their water source. They're not going to know what it is. They're not going to know that it's 50 pounds of red tempera powder paint that you took from the art room at another high school across town and dumped it into their purification system. All they're going to know is that the water looks funny, and you're going to strike fear into the soldiers that are occupying your town, and they're not going to want to drink it. The psychology of this is everything. Making them think they're denied access to an area. I was talking, I think before I realized we had slipped over to Liberty Tree Radio, making all the stuff now helps. Caltrops, the tool of the ninja, they throw them down. They're little spiky pieces of sheet metal with the prongs. It looks like a bow tie that's been twisted so that no matter how you throw it, there's a sharp edge up. Things like that can make a world of difference if you just put them throughout alleys and stuff, you know, where they're coming through and chasing people. You lead them down it. You have boxes of them ready to go somewhere. Pre-stage some of this stuff. It goes, you know, you don't want to make booby traps. You don't want to get anybody innocent, but having the raw materials pre-staged around your city, if you're deciding to stay in the city, you've got to start planning now. Especially if you're a small militia. But I can tell you this. I bet there isn't a city in America that doesn't have at least one good-sized militia operating in it. They may not communicate with anybody. They may not want to communicate with anybody, but they're there. But if you're on your own and you want to do something for the fight, you want to stand in the gap, now's the time to plan. Don't wait. Don't wait. Get to it as quickly as you can. Learn how to navigate your area of operations almost blindfolded. I'm not saying go drive around, but just memorize everything. Learn where all the transformers are. Learn, you know, if you look for the, it's the diamond, hazardous material diamond that has different numbers. It tells you what hazardous materials are in a building. You can look those up online, and you can learn where all the raw materials are for whatever you would need. You don't have to be illegal and stockpile them now, but find where the welding shops are. Find where the shops, like we have a place in Riverside, they make foam mattresses. And the chemicals that are contained in there are amazingly lethal. In fact, when they would pre-plan for fire, you know, they basically tell everybody to shelter in place. If that place ever went up and those giant loaves of foam rubber that's used for the mattresses caught on fire, the smoke that would come off of that, the toxins would be deadly. You've got to locate these places, and you've got to know where they're at. Because basically, you know, after martial law is declared, you're not going to be able to move freely about, you know, as a tourist and just, you know, do-de-o-do around and go, oh, look. Look over there. They've got tons of acetylene. Oh, look over there. There's compressed oxygen. You want to see an oxygen bottle turn into a torpedo? Open it up and put a little bit of oil on the seal. Just regular 3-in-1 oil and then walk away. The chemical reaction will take place that will just launch that thing. I've seen it happen once. I've seen the results of it a couple of times. Compressed oxygen in ambulances and stuff will just launch and go through a cinder block wall in a fire station. Will just rip out of the back of an ambulance or out of a rack in a room. I've seen it happen. I've seen the results of it. Compressed oxygen and compressed air are not things to be played with. They're a tool. When you're going around, you know, everybody's going to be, what are they going to be doing? They're going to be looting the liquor stores and the gun shops. So just stay away from those. Make sure you have your liquor and your firearms already. Don't do that. Don't go to where the crowds are. We talked about that in the first half hour. Why would you go to a protest of the G20 and give a cop a chance to crack your skull open? Why would you risk going down and trying to get what you need during the riots after martial law? It just doesn't make sense. Avoid those areas. Avoid them like the plague. Find places that have gasoline but aren't open to the public. There are gas stations out there that are for fleet use only, that are automated and open 24 hours a day, and they have a large above-ground tank usually, because the EPA has gone after all the below-ground tanks. and they're behind a fence that can easily be accessed. People are going to hit the regular gas stations. They're not going to be thinking about these places where the cement trucks come and go all day long, and they have their own fuel back there. They have their own stash of diesel and maybe a smaller tank for their smaller work vehicles in the quarry. See, I don't know about the rest of America, but out here it's kind of weird. You know, like Visalia has a cement plant right on the northern edge of town, and they have their own fuel tanks. They don't go around pulling up to the Quickie Mart and getting gas whenever they need it. They have a maintenance worker who fuels the trucks up every day at the end of shift. Anybody that's worked a delivery fleet of large vehicles can tell you this. Find out where those places are. Find out where the diesel and the gasoline is stored that aren't commercial outlets. It'll be much easier to get into. Make a deal with the guy who works there. Befriend the maintenance guys in several different places. Now, this next one's probably going to shock you, and people are going to say, well, I don't think that's, you know, something we should be doing. How many times have we heard reports that all these malls, all these anchor stores that are going under, the big Denver May and Gottschalks, giant stores, box container stores at the end of malls are now vacant? Well, the banks that own those defaulted buildings are now controlled by who? The federal government. Because they nationalized their banking system. So they have access to the keys of every closed or partially closed mall in every community. And where do they put these malls? In the middle of great big parking lots where giant cattle trucks and buses can come and go, and they can store you in the malls. Study your malls. Let's say you've done everything right, but you get caught unawares with your pants down and you end up locked into a mall. That's where they're going to be doing, and I can tell you this from my experience, that's where they want to do the inoculations at. It's a contained area. They got toilets. They got food preparation areas. They got large open spaces. They got everything they need, especially if it's been out of business for a while. There's going to be a little bit of sweeping needs to be done, and they can throw up all the cots. They've got all the security they need. What else is in a mall? Security cameras. Every entry and exit is alarmed, and from a central space, they can tell when somebody's coming or going. Now, they can't control the locks, but malls are great temporary prisons and processing centers. So find out all the exits at your mall. Find out which places have false ceilings. You know what I'm talking about? A lowered acoustic ceiling, which gives you some room. I worked in a mall one time, a security guard. We went up inside the main throw of the mall, the main hall. We called it the Great Hall. And we were up in there, and there was a catwalk that went the full length of it. And I'm sure the feds know this stuff is on there. I know the people that pre-plan their disaster stuff, but what a great way to get away. Get on the roof and get out of there. Find access to the roof. Find access to doors. Learn your mall. You may have to go in and rescue people. Who knows what God will call you to do in that situation. Learn the mall. Find out, this is a good one for you. Most ambulance services, because of their contracts with the cities, they don't hang around the hospital or fire station anymore. That's not what they do. They deploy, they buy houses that are manned 24 hours a day, usually, with ambulance staff. Unless you're in a city that's not a contract city and your fire department provides this, it's a different thing. But ambulances are staged around California. American Ambulance, there's so many different companies. But when I've worked with them through fire, they have these little hangouts. They're houses they can sleep in until the call goes off. They're like their own private entity when they're a contract provider. But you know what they're stocked with? All kinds of medical equipment that you might need. Everything from IVs to pain narcotics to pills of every kind, bandages, splints, inflatable splints. It's all in those houses, and they're not guarded. There's usually somebody there, and they lock it when they leave, but in a martial law situation, in a political, social, economic collapse, good place to go get what you need. Say you got shot, good place to go there. And you know how you get them out of there? You make a fake 911 call in their area, and they take off and leave. Just like pizza delivery guys are going to take off. Maybe not all of them take off, but at least it'll give you less people to deal with. Now, I'm not condoning killing or disabling or dismembering ambulance drivers, but I'm saying in that situation, in a full-on war situation, do you know that? Do you know that there are American ambulance people living in your community? Nobody's going to go riot there. The ambulances will probably be staged for where the cops are beating everybody up. But knowing ahead of time where those safe houses are put, it's good to know. It's real good to know. Start locating your National Guard armories. How many people just drive by them and don't even pay attention? Count the vehicles that are there. I get calls all the time. People go, hey, I just went through Hanford and there's no vehicles at the National Guard armory. There haven't been vehicles there for like 5 years. I think they shut it down. When I first moved here, I went and cased it. Oh, how many vehicles are in there? It's just like a couple buses and a couple Humvees. Either they're on perpetual deployment or they just don't use that National Guard place anymore. Get to know the purpose and the missions of the National Guard armories that are in your community. I don't care if they're cooks. They're still going to have an armory, and you need to know if they're going to be used against you, where they're located. Or maybe you find out they're a bunch of oath keepers, and you're going to sway them to your side. It's good to know where they're at, too. That's where human intelligence comes more in handy than you could ever imagine. Locate indoor shooting ranges. Now, I can tell you this. Most people that are involved in the shooting sports are either going to be on our side or dead. I can't think of any of these places around here. Even the sleaziest gun shop that I've been into, when you start talking to them, they're more on our side than the other side. So that might be a good place to start locating potential allies. Go there and hang out. Take some lessons. Start to learn know who the people are there. And you know, don't go in and ask too many questions at first because you think you're some kind of plant. That's the big problem up here. Everybody thinks everybody new is from the FBI. I'm like, let's just treat everybody we meet as if they're FBI, and just because we got nothing to hide, and just treat them with respect, and you know, we'll judge them by their fruits. So that kind of place is a good place to go. You know, a shooting club, a shooting range, a ski club. But the other thing is, I've worked at a lot of these places, and they have a huge amount of ammunition stored up at them. So you get in good with the people who run the range and just say, hey, anything goes wrong, I'm coming here. They may say, well, you know what? You're not coming here. We're going to throw up the gates. Or they may say, yeah, we would love to have you. We've gotten to know you, and we think it's a good place to start. There's just so much that's going on right now that needs to be observed, pre-planned, walked through. We need to make sure that we're not missing anything. It's not all about making sure, you know, you can field a platoon-sized militia, because some of us just aren't going to be able to do that. But that doesn't mean we can't take part in the fight. If your hand is ready to be put to the plow, the Lord's going to give you a task. And if you go around ignoring those tasks, you're just going to be running around like every other refugee going, where do I go? Where do I go? Where do I go? One of the great things to also look at is find out where the central traffic control operations come out of. I'm not talking about the big box right at your stoplight where you live. I'm talking about the main one. Cutting it off, you don't even have to enter it. Just cut it off from its control over the streetlights. Sometimes just creating more chaos will benefit our side and hurt their side. Maybe if you're under a martial law system and the goal is just to push the people to finally get so angry, they throw off the yoke and start fighting back. Because it may not be a sudden boot on your neck. It might be a gradual tyranny that they impose upon us. They're starting to learn from their from previous lessons. So it may be gradual, and you may want to find a way, and I'm going to say this, to inflame the sheep. I have little sympathy for the sheep. I'm still looking for sheepdogs, no sheep. So if you can find a way to cut off the luxuries to an occupied people and somehow make it look like the occupiers did it, you can instigate your own little mobile force right there to start taking stuff out against the captors. It's like going to the zoo and making faces at the gorilla, irritate them, so you know what I'm saying?
Yawn at the monkeys.
Yeah, you go yell at the monkeys at the zoo. So that you want to agitate them, not make them go to sleep. Start yelling at the monkeys so that they start making a big hoopla, and then all of a sudden everybody's watching the monkeys and nobody's watching you. And what can you do while everybody's watching the monkeys and trying to contain them? That's up to you. That depends what your mission is. Knowing what makes a city or even a small town tick can make you a force multiplier. Like I said, irritating them on their drive to work, to their, you know, their government-controlled factories. You know, make all the lights flash red all over town because you found out where that cable goes, where that fiber optic cable that leads from their tactical operations center, and you don't even have to go near it. You just find out where it's at, which manhole it's under. Because right now, this stuff is public information. But you got to do the research. You've got to get to know people who know these things. Hang out with them. I learned so much sometimes just by sitting around a campfire of, you know, a group of people I've never met before and just shutting up and listening to them talk. Find out what their jobs are, what they do. You know, you find out the prevailing winds from the local dump would, on certain days of the year, come right downtown. You set fire to the dump. Whole town's covered in smelly garbage, and they don't want to function right. Great distraction, isn't it? Find out what the local holidays and local interests are of where you're at. You may be a transplant like so many Americans. You moved into a community, and they have a special festival every year that everybody goes to, where everybody's at. And even under martial law, you know, they're like, well, we're going to allow them their little festival so we don't look totally bad. You need to know these things. When are they going to be meeting together? I know it sounds kind of draconian, especially talking about using citizens against the enemy, but I can tell you, if you're not with us, you're against us, and a lot of people don't like it when I say that. I fear that it'll be a bigger burden for us dealing with all the sheep than it will be dealing with the wolves that are out to kill us. Because we're going to have to wade through the sheep, and some of those sheep are going to be turning on us. Some of those sheep are going to be grabbing onto us, asking for help, going, oh, I didn't listen, now you got to help me. Oi, come protect me. Kind of like in that, what was the movie, Defiance?
Yeah.
When the militant Jews, they weren't observing Jews, they were gangsters, basically, started fighting the Germans, and everybody started flocking to them. You know, you must like that. You went back for more. Is it pineapple-y enough?
It's good.
Yeah, I used a whole can of pineapple to soak the chicken
in.
It's
pineapple.
We have it hidden. We have a hidden pineapple stash. I practice what I preach. You don't need to know where the pineapple is. You just leave it alone. I know how you go. You go nuts for pineapple. I'll bring it out once in a while when you're good, and I'll cook you some pineapple chicken. I was going to try and make it like El Pollo Loco, but I just didn't have all the ingredients. But anyway, back to the topic at hand, folks. I don't know. Do you guys disagree with what I'm saying? Am I being too vicious? Am I putting the fangs out there too soon, telling you folks how to go out and look for these things? Am I misleading you down some kind of primrose path? Give me a call, 559-561-8225. Find out where your local law enforcement, your policy officers, police officers, where the radio tower is. Is it located right down at the Tactical Operations Center and you can't get to it? Or do they decide to put it way up on a mountain and connect it through phone lines and fiber optic? Where do those lines go? How deep do you have to dig? Usually they put signs right over them that says, warning, underground cable. Call. So you call that number and go, yeah, I'm going to be digging in this area. I'm putting in an archaeological search trench for the university. And I was wondering, what's down in there? Oh, that's the fiber optics for. And they'll tell you what it is. I've done it a couple of times just to practice to see what would happen. They go, you don't want to cut that. That goes to the Bank of America. You know, that's their, that trunk down there, that trunk of fiber optics is for like the whole West Coast banking. I'm not exaggerating. If that goes down, it's like $500,000 a minute that we lose. And, you know, if you hit that, you might as well just go out of business. You're going to get sued. Think I'm making this up? You do the research and prove me wrong. I got a buddy that's a fiber optic engineer in L.A. Got it from the horse's mouth. He knows where every inch of fiber optics in Orange County and L.A. County go. And he says all the time, wildcat contractors who don't call, dig down, break a fiber optic cable that takes 12 hours to fix, and it's just going ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. And he just tells the guys, if you don't have, you know, a $7 million bond and all this, you might as well just walk away and shut your business down because they're going to destroy you. They've put all their eggs in several baskets that can be located, and fiber optics is, and dependence on technology will be their downfall. If I don't live through the revolution, through this next, to the second war of federal aggression, mark my words, anybody who's hearing me today, their dependence on technology and putting all their eggs in select baskets will be their downfall. The Lord's going to use that against them. Their cockiness, they're thinking themselves to be wise, they were made fools. That's what's going to happen to the New World Order. Because there are going to be guys out there like my buddy who's a militia member down there who's going to just start yanking fiber cable out. And he's got the truck, the uniform, and the helmet that nobody will question him. So what does that tell you? Start going to secondhand stores and looking for utility uniforms. If you're up on a pole wearing camouflage and a beret, they're going to shoot you off. You're up on a pole wearing blue pants, some regular brown work boots, and a shirt that says, hi, my name's Vic, and you got a van down there that looks like a whatever utility, and you're up there, they don't know what you're doing. They don't know if you're tapping a phone line. They don't know if you're rerouting cable. And odds are, if you don't look menacing, they're not going to care. So multiple utility uniforms are important to have now. And if you can't get them, I can tell you this. You can go to uniform stores now, and I can go buy a highway patrolman's uniform now, and they won't even ask a question. They just want to be selling the stuff. When I worked for the fire department, I used to have to go in and get different uniforms. I thought they'd ask for, oh, I need a letter from my chief or something. They're like, no, fire uniforms are right over there. Remember that movie, Conspiracy Theory, with
Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson, thank you. And he had that full-on fire outfit. I used to have one of those. I actually lost it in a fire. It's kind of poetic. But after I saw that movie, I'm like, I've got all that gear. I got my bunker gear. I got my helmet. I have a Scott SCBA, self-contained breathing apparatus, with fully charged. You know, I lived in a trailer, so I didn't have to flame-proof my whole thing. But I thought if they ever came through there and started doing something, I just have to duck in the woods, throw it on, and just start wandering around, and I'm gone. Because they always bring the fire department to the party, don't they? They make them stage farther away. But it's good to know. Have the uniform of the enemy. Yes, I'm asking you to break the Geneva Convention.
Well, they're breaking.
Yeah, they've broken every law that we've ever been forced to obey, right? So why should we not fight asymmetrical warfare against them, whoever they are? I don't care if it's the Chinese. I don't care if Nevada decides to attack us. Whoever the Lord allows to be the enemy of my liberty, all bets are off. I'm not going to be wearing gloves. I'm not going to worry about somebody saying, oh, you fought like a sissy. I'm going to fight a godly battle, but I'm going to use everything at my disposal. And everything that I've been telling you today is in the Bible. There are doctrines of war in the Bible. The doctrine of deception, the doctrine of flight, the doctrine of war. When to fight, when not to fight. It's all there in the Bible. I'm not bending any rules or any laws by telling you to sneak out in the middle of the night and be put in a basket and dropped over the wall so that the Pharisees don't get you. Wait a minute, that is legal to do. You know? There are huge examples in the Bible. Look at how David fought war. Everything's there for us. We just have a little modern tweaking to do on it. It's still solid and good advice. Luke keeps dropping his water. You're going to take out your computer.
Mm.
Yeah, you are. And stop playing with it.
Okay.
It's like a baby toy with you. You're like fondling your water bottle. Is that your whoopee?
No.
Is that your whoopee bottle? Let's go ahead and take a break now, Lou. My throat's going. I just talked for like an hour straight. We'll be right back on Liberty Tree Radio and on DutchJones.tk. And we'll be back after this song and after a message.
They're calling us right-wing extremists, and they mock us on TV. 'Cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing Americans who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Up till now, I always thought our vets were real patriots who loved our country with all their hearts. Oh, they proudly wore the uniform. They fought and died on foreign shores when liberty called them to do their part. Now the Department of Homeland Security has sounded the alarm, calling our vets a bigger threat than the terrorists who want to do us harm. They're calling us right-wing extremists, and they mock us on TV. 'Cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing conservatives who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. we tend to be pro-life. All the way, we're not ashamed to bow our heads to pray. The First Amendment gives us the right to speak our minds. We don't like how our money's spent by politicians who seem bent on controlling everything in our lives. They're even calling us rednecks and racists because we don't like the policies of our nation's first black president in our great history. They're calling us right-wing extremists and they mock us on TV because we're united to defend the Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud God-fearing daughters and sons who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Through our faith in God, who we still trust, America was born. But freedom lost is forever gone. Our founding fathers warned. On TV, 'cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing patriots who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Yes, now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Yes, now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family. Get them prepared for disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
I'm trying,
for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention.
The government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
We're back for the final half hour. Today is the 30th of June, 2010, and you are listening to the Dutch Jones radio program here on Liberty Tree Radio and also on U Broadcast and a bunch of other places. When I get the email the next day, I'm always surprised where people hear it. You know, it's amazing to me just how far a signal can go on the internet. When I first got into this, I came out of a background of AM and FM pirate and then shortwave pirate radio as a kid and stuff. And I thought, well, why would anybody want to be on the internet? I mean, it's so limiting, you know, but I had no idea. The potential is great. I mean, you know, sure, the only way we're going to get people to listen in their cars is during rebroadcast or reruns or something, but that's fine. But just the potential to tap in and just to this stream of thought that goes out. And as long as we're allowed to use it, I'm going to continue to use it. And I just keep praying that it'll have an effect that will glorify God. That's my whole point of doing the show. People ask me all the time, why do you do that? Why do you, you know, spend, you know, 2 or 3 hours a day that you could be doing something else, making a living or something? And instead, you get on there and you talk to people that don't even talk back. I just feel moved to do it. The Holy Spirit, and I'm one of those guys that believes when the Holy Spirit has you do something, I'm not like Jonah. I don't want to end up on God's bad side. I do it. I get called a fanatic. I get called a zealot. Well, I don't think a zealot's a bad thing to be called. I had somebody call me David Koresh today, and I said, no, the difference between me and David Koresh is I wouldn't have stopped shooting after that first day. We'd have kept fighting. And I'm not belittling what they did. That was their choice. But that's the difference between me and some of these other things in history that have occurred that people like to fly their, you know, in your face. Oh, yeah, you're going to be another one of those. Given the means to resist, I will resist until the very end. I got nothing to lose. The minute that the government decides you're going to separate my soul from this body, that's a victory for me. I get to go to heaven and fight in that army. So, I mean, they've got nothing over me. You know, they can use, you know, look at all the bad movies, the action movies, they always use the guy's wife or kids or some innocent victim. We've all realized what's going on. That's one thing that's different about this family than a lot of families. We all know the risk. We know, Stacy knows the risk of being here, Lou knows the risk. And what we do, we're angering tyrants, and we don't know where the books are.
I don't know where his book is. I looked.
It's probably in the vehicle. Probably in the back of the vehicle. That's the last time I saw him. But we can't live in fear. We can't run and hide right now when God has given us a great opportunity here to prepare, plan, and stage. And it may not be my generation. It may be Lou's children. It may not be anybody that's alive today. But we keep this level of training, this level of thought, this attitude of resistance to tyranny as obedience to God. We keep instilling it in our children's hearts and minds. We keep training ourselves, our hands to war and our fingers to fight. We got to keep doing that. We can't stop. We can't say, okay, I've put together every stash I can. I've got 3 layers of gear. I got 4 rifles stashed all over the city. I'm ready to go. I can just sit back and coast now. No, it's got to be a daily battle. It's got to be a daily regimen that you go through. If you start with one thing and you work your way up and you fulfilled everything on your list, guess what? It's time to make another list. Got a lot of people mad at me today in different forums and stuff because I was saying, I don't know how you could be in the militia and not be a Christian. Because if what we're doing is not based on the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the chances of us surviving and winning are nil to none. Every cause that is righteous has to be coram deo. And a bunch of atheist, you know, just fleshy militia guys don't like hearing that. Oh, take your God stuff and run away. It was, you know, leave me alone. I don't want to hear it. I said, well, I wasn't specifically giving the message to you because I figure you're a lost soul anyway and you've made your choice. We're all big boys. My goal is not to sit here and convert you by force to my way of thinking. My goal is to live my life as best I can as a Christian soldier and let you judge me by my fruits. Now, I've got a higher code than most, I think, just general Americans, and most militiamen do, and women. We'll protect innocent. I'm not going to ask somebody if I see he's getting the boots put to him by a group of six guys, you know, what his religion denomination is. I'm going to stop the violence. You know, although you can make mistakes doing that. I once pulled a guy off of somebody who was strangling the guy because I thought the strangler was the bad guy and it turned out the other way around. But, you know, use discernment and be wise. You know, don't be foolish.
Strangly,
the strangler. Yeah, there's very specific divisions there. So I find it funny that some people are offended by a Christian militant worldview when up until about 60 years ago, that was commonplace. Well, we have a flexible document called the Constitution. We don't need a militia anymore. I had a guy today email me, and he said, well, we have a Christian militia. It's called the U.S. Army, buddy. Get used to it. Well, I unleashed on him and gave him a bunch of documents and, you know, the usual, your ignorance does not make me a wacko speech. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be nice to you, even though you're being belligerent. I'm going to be nice to you. And that lasted for about three exchanges. And then once, you know, his little brain went pop because I was giving him quotations and sources, he couldn't handle it. He just got stupid. And that'll happen. You know, I'm not going to force somebody into believing to my way of thinking. I'm not a tyrant. That's how the other side works. That's how the left in America works. That's how the Fabian socialists work. And these people that are in the middle, by de facto voting, they're helping the enemy because they're attacking us for being righteous. And I don't force anybody to listen to this show. How many of you people are here because you're afraid of me? Other than you, Lou. You have to be here. I make Lou listen to the show, but he never remembers anything afterwards anyway.
Yes, they do.
It doesn't make sense to me why they get so angry when you bring Christianity up in the militia angle, in the militia movement. The Tea Party thing. I mean, in the beginning, they were, you know, very Christian in nature, the local ones here. And then when they did the big communal one between all the little cities here at the Ag Center in Tulare, they didn't let our pastor speak. They brought in some other pastor who's a touchy-feely radio pastor who doesn't say anything offensive. You know, when the whole Proposition 8 thing was going on, he was going around hugging lesbians, you know, saying, you know, I feel for you. And he lets lesbians come to his church, practicing lesbians. You know, if they come there to repent, you know, that's different. That's like, I mean, the same thing as if you let a practicing bank robber come to your church every day. That's what the Catholics do. That's not what we do. So the strong moral footing that I'm standing on is because I am a Christian. And the way I conduct myself in every aspect of life, except when I stumble, and I do, I'm not perfect, is because I have a moral compass that is based on Jesus Christ being my king. I will bow to no other king. I will bow to no one other than King Jesus Christ. And, oh, you're uppity, you're this, you're that. I don't understand it when heads of state bow to queens and potentates. It's vile. We like to watch this thing called Fight Quest. Lou has all of them on DVD, and we're watching them. And whatever nation they go to learn their national martial art, these two Americans keep taking the faith system of that martial art, and that really bothers me. They bow to him. They did everything but basically Krav Maga. They didn't become Jews for Krav Maga. But like they went to the Philippines and they were doing Kali and they did like an animal sacrifice. And I'm like, just how thin? And these guys claim to be Christians. They go, oh, we pray before every fight. And yeah, but who are you praying to? You're over there in a Buddhist temple a minute ago.
And
because I am rigid in my belief system, because, I mean, Jesus said it. No one gets to the Father except through him. How much more rigid is that? How much more elitist is that? And the new Christians want to change the Bible. They want to preach a truncated salvation, non-violent, non-militant view, and they just want all their Christians to just jump into the furnace. Because Jesus will be there to save them. And just because it happened to three of God's people doesn't mean it's going to happen to all of us. That'd be like me saying every issue should be resolved with violence because in the Bible, God crushes the skulls of his enemies and makes their children footstools. Because it happened once in the Bible doesn't mean that that's how the Lord deals with everything. But in questions of war, there is a place for Christians at the table. And we can't run away from that. Christians have been running away from the responsibility for so long, hiding behind this so-called separation of church and state garbage, which is not in the Constitution. The First Amendment does not separate the church. It just says that the government shall not choose a specific religion. And I'm not going to argue that with anybody here, because everybody goes, well, yeah, but in this one letter, Adam said this. No, I go by what the Constitution says. Nowhere in there does it say that Buddhists and Jews and everybody else can tell Christians what to do because we're offending them because they're the minority. It doesn't make sense. What happens to people in the Bible when they are ashamed of Christ? They get punished. They lose out. They fall from grace. I, for one, am not going to fall from grace. It would take a lot to make me walk away from my faith. And I'm not some moron that would die for a lie. I die for the truth. My goal is to stay alive as long as I can. I'm not a martyr. That's another thing. People are sending me emails saying, you guys sure sound like martyrs over there. The Dutch Jones thing sounds like a bunch of martyrs. No, I'm not a martyr. My goal is not to be killed for my Lord. My goal is to survive and to make sure as many of his children survive, even against their own will. Some of them, people just love to be martyrs. They're just like, oh, I don't know. If someone came into my house and said, I would just let him kill me. I wouldn't raise a finger. I've heard that. I've had Christians look me in the face and tell me that. Oh, I no, this Armageddon, it has to come. If we fight the Armageddon, we're fighting Jesus. By you wanting war with the New World Order, you're helping Satan. And I'm just like, where do you get this from? Well, a friend of mine read it in Revelation. I go, well, where in Revelation? It's just like the intel questions you get on the intelligence report. People call and go, yeah, my nephew's uncle's gardener was at a train crossing, and they saw Russian tanks going by on a flat car. Oh, really? Did you bring any pictures? He didn't get them for me. He didn't say anything about any pictures. You know, it's the same way with Christians. Everybody's an expert on the Bible, but very few people actually have read it or digested it or sat down and read commentaries from great men of history that the Lord has raised up. And I don't agree with everything that, like, Calvin said or any of the great founders, you know, of the Protestant faith. I'm not 100% with them on everything. But I am with them in the fact that we Christians are not supposed to just sit back and do nothing. We're to be proactive. We're to occupy. We're to go wage a spiritual war and a physical war. It's not one or the other. It's a mixture of both. And that means preparing our bodies and minds and our hands and our fingers to draw and break a bow of iron. You know what that means? Being able to pull the strongest bow possible. We are commanded by God to do that. It's not for hunting. It's for destroying the enemies of God's people. So, people like to argue that point. I don't even want to argue anymore. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, along with the good people up here that are doing what they're doing. And the other, I just got an email from somebody listening to the show. He's in Southern California, but he's about 200 miles away, and he wants a church in his area. And I'm sad to say, I don't know if there are any good churches in his area where he's at. There's a few throughout the state, you know, free churches that don't ask Caesar for a license, that take their militia responsibilities seriously. Very few people do more than fill a pew and follow along with whatever the pastor says on a Sunday. They don't even know where the books of the Bible are. Or they throw out one and live by the other. You know, the Old Testament versus the New Testament, the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant. Those are buffet Christians. They go to the buffet of theology, and they pick and choose what makes them happy. You know, just like these Unitarian churches that allow, like, lesbian preachers and stuff, and they do sodomite weddings. They have no idea what they're playing with. And they'll find some verse, you know, that, oh, God forgives all sin. Yeah, but that's true. But the sinner has to repent and turn away from the sin, too. He can't keep doing the sin. So yeah, being in the Christian militia is kind of a unique thing. It wasn't before, but it is now. There are a lot of Christians that are in militias. Just like whether if you're, you know, if there's five Christians in a band and the lead singer's not a Christian, it doesn't mean it's a Christian band. It just means Christians are there having their influence over the music. Same way with the militia. And I don't think that we're going to see a revival in this nation and a restoration of our liberties until more people come to that realization. People don't like hearing that. They just want to know that, hey, I can go put a bullet in the head of a tire and walk away and everything's going to be okie dokie. It might be. It might be for a while like that. And God may use you to do that and you're not even a Christian. How many times in the Bible has God used the enemies of Israel to smite in Israel or to smite the enemies of Israel? God's going to do whatever God wants to do. I don't sit here and dare surmise that I know what God is going to do in this conflict that we're headed for, and I do believe we're headed for a conflict. Or else I wouldn't be taking such a serious tone with this. I'd be sitting here talking about the latest guns, the latest bullets, the latest camping gear every single night and just be happy hearing myself talk, knowing that there's a couple people out there that probably didn't know that and I shared something with them. But coming out of a place like Liberty Tree Radio, most of the people that are listening are probably better versed on this stuff than I am. And I always like to use the last half hour to kind of share this message with people, because I want to make sure that we don't lose it. Sometimes I get wrapped up in the, hey, let's kill them all, let God sort them out kind of thing, that the focus gets lost, that I am trying to be a good soldier of Christ and obey His laws of warfare. I don't know, maybe I'm belaboring the point too much. But it's important that you folks understand where I'm coming from, especially if you're a new listener, and where we're coming from here at the Church of Kaweah. Because the Founding Fathers, when they fought, they knew very well about the manifest intervention by the Divine Lord Jesus Christ. They prayed to Him often. In the War of Federal Aggression, the South was always invoking the Lord. You guys probably don't even know this, but up until recently, West Point and Annapolis, and to some extent the Air Force Academy, used to preach that God had a say in battles, whether through controlling storms, the ocean waves, whatever, that the Lord, Jesus Christ, had a say in battles and that commanders in warfare needed to recognize that. But they don't teach that anymore. And look what's happening. What kind of wars have we had? Stalemates. Undecisive wars. Wars that leave us feeling like, did we win or lose? Wars that drag on for years that have no real purpose or goal. It's because we've abandoned God in our war colleges, too. Something as righteous as a war against Islam would have made much more sense 100 years ago than it does today. Today it's just kind of like, well, we can't say it's a war against Islam. It's a war against Islamofascism, just a few. Read the Quran and tell me that the Quran is not at war with everyone that is not Islam. Those are facts. I do the reading. So many people don't want to. So many people just want to be told on the nightly news in cute little snippets. Some bubbly-headed bleach blonde with a boob job telling you what you need to know about Israel. And you believe it, most of you. So, that's why it's important that we get a Christian worldview. It takes those blinders off. It strips off those filters and lets us take things at what they are, not what the messenger wants us to think they are. It's like the Confederate flag issue. People get really mad that I have a Confederate flag in my videos.
I see what your friend...
And I tell them stuff like, why don't you like it? Well, it's a symbol of racism. I go, how? And they don't know, but they just know somebody told them it was, so they believe it. Well, I think Fords, because most Klansmen that I've met drive old Ford pickups, Fords must be a symbol of racism,
yeah.
So I don't want to have anything to do with Ford pickups or Ford Motor Corporation. It's that kind of petty thinking that keeps us apart and keeps us from fighting the enemy.
Hey, yeah, most Klansmen do drive Fords.
Yeah. Every Klansman I've met, they're all like Ford guys, a couple Dodge. And what flag does the Klan fly now? Some of them will have stars and bars at home, but when they go to rallies, they fly the American flag. They're very patriotic people. So now you're going to call the American flag because they chose to fly it a flag of racism?
Yeah.
and the militias, oh, you're all a bunch of fanatic fat guys running around in the woods. Because what does the media do? They look for little fat guys like me, and they make it look like I represent the entire militia. Because little fat guys like me, unfortunately, their egos are bigger than their brains, and they go, hey, I want to be interviewed. I want to be on TV. I want to be on the History Channel. I want to be part of this. And so that is the face that they put on the militia, and they flog it. They just run it into the ground. You know, they don't find guys like my pastor who are, you know, in physically good shape. They don't find, you know, guys like other people in our militia that are in really good shape, regardless of age. I think I've talked about it before when the History Channel wanted to do a documentary on the militia, and they contacted up here and wanted to talk to our church, and I called Mark Kornke's folks and said, what do you think about this? And they just said, just stay away from them. Don't even talk to them. Now, I don't know if they ever went ahead and did it, but I can tell you that everything you watch on the History Channel, everything you watch on the Learning Channel, or what's the other one? National Geographic.
Discovery.
They make all those groups that they show just as bad as they can possibly be. Even the ones they show in a good light are shown to be feeble or just inept guys that mean well but aren't really hurting anybody. They'll say things like, well, this one militia is harmless, but unlike their brethren in the other part of the county. Yeah, it's just weird. You know, this border thing that I've been talking about to everybody, trying to get people to go down to the border, there's like several different groups going down. You've got one guy from the National Socialist Movement who's a media whore who's trying to get everybody to go to his. And now everybody's labeling the rest of us because of that guy. And I'm like saying, you know what? That guy's an idiot. That's okay. I hate Nazis. He has every right to go to the border, though, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He has every right to stand up in this country, even though we may deplore his system, and try to do something. At least he's trying to fill a hole in the gap, even if it's self-serving, to get more people to join his cause. But the Lord could be using him. But now everybody sees that, and then they go, oh, are you going down there with that guy TJ? And I'm like, no, who's that? And then I look it up, and it turns out the guy's a flaming Nazi. No, that's not our group going down. Oh, but you're probably going to be near them. No, I doubt it. Because I know when I was with the Minuteman group, those skinheads and stuff would show up, throw up a flag, and then the media would take a picture, and then the skinheads would go away. It makes you wonder if they were paying them to be there.
Probably.
So they could mock the Minutemen and taint us. Well, we're winding down here. We've got a couple minutes, and I don't know what you just did there, but it dropped out. We're going to run off out of here. Do not call. We won't be here. We're going to go to a Bible study, and I got to videotape it on America's Providential History. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for tuning in. Remember, tell two people about this show. Tell two people about Liberty Tree Radio if you can help us out financially. We have a pitch-in button on dutchjones.tk. I just ask that the Lord bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty, and don't forget who we're working for. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. All liberty comes from Jesus Christ, and we serve an awesome God. Thank you, and I'll be back tomorrow.